stories happening alongside this miracle. One is a miracle, and one is just sad. It's just sad. But I think we hear that piece, and we miss the underlying stories that are paralleling what Jesus has done and the reflection and the reaction to what Jesus has done. So although we hear a story of a miracle, of Jesus bringing sight to the blind, there's so much more to it. And the reality of today's reading is actually about sin. And I know it's Lent, so I'm okay to talk about sin. Plus, I'm kind of an expert in it. Experiential expert. I want you to pick up your Book of Common Prayer. It's the red one in the pew in front of you. Page 848, which is our catechism. And on the bottom of the page, it says, "What is sin?" And our response to that as Episcopalians, sin is the seeking of our own will instead of the will of God, thus distorting our relationship with God and other people and with all creation. Now, how often do we think of that as sin? When I talk to you about sin, I suspect that is probably not the first thing that entered your mind, correct? I can think of a lot better sins than that, or more obvious ones. But that's how we define sin. That is the sin that is being described in the midst of this story. That sin of will, choosing our will over the will of God. Which, by the way, is the ultimate sin. So as we come into the story, Jesus is walking along. He sees a man that's been blind from birth. And as we'll hear later in the story, he was blind in the understanding of society in that day because of either his sin or the sin of his parents. And that's what they had said. That's exactly what they wanted to know. And Jesus, is it because of him or his parents that he's blind? And Jesus said, it's neither. It's so that the glory of God could be shown. God's work might be revealed in him. So that must have been rather confusing to the Jewish people, because their understanding was, clearly, he is born in sin, which the Pharisees will say later. And so Jesus does the non-COVID healing. You know, he spits in the dirt, makes some mud, rubs it on his eyes. Now, I don't suspect any of us would be too interested in Jesus doing that even today. And so he comes up, spits in the dirt, rubs mud. We're like, could we just get a bottle of water for that? But Jesus does that, a different time. He probably didn't even have a mask on. And I guess the good news is the blind man only knew he made mud. He probably didn't know how he made it, and maybe it's better that way. But the reality is, here it is, and he rubs it on his eyes, sends him to wash, and he receives his sight. So immediately the people around him, the people who knew him as the blind beggar, are thinking, who's this guy? And they're discussing, oh, it looks like him, it could be him, I don't know if it's him, but this person's not blind anymore, it can't be him. And the whole time he's standing going, it's me, I can see now, I can see. And they're like, well, how did that happen? He goes, well, you know, somebody spit in the mud and da-da-da-da-da, and he rubbed it in my eyes and I washed and now I can see. So now that is a sign that his sin would be gone, so they took him to the Pharisees because somebody has to say he's clean. No longer a sinful person standing here with sight. And so they question him. The Pharisees hear this after they bring him. And the first thing they decide is that this person that you're describing, who he described as Jesus, the man named Jesus, they hear the story and they say, this man is not from God. He does not observe the Sabbath. That's their response. Really? Here's this man who's been blind from birth. He's of age, we find out here in a little bit. Undoubtedly, they've seen him. They have probably dropped some money down next to his feet so he could feed himself or care for himself in some way as a beggar. And yet, here he is with sight. They don't believe it. In suspect. They don't even believe that he was blind now, so they call for his parents. So they interview the parents, and the parents are like, all we can tell you is this is our son, and he was blind, and now he can see. If you want to know how it happened, ask him, which, of course, they've already done. Well, they don't want to proclaim that this Jesus had done this, and a revelation of God before them, the light of the world, as he describes himself, because then they're going to be put out of the synagogue. So they're like, go ask him, he's of age. He'll speak for himself. So they go back again and ask him the same question. How did this happen? Who did this? And he tells them again, or begins to, and he goes, why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciple too? And then they got a little upset. And now they're making the plans for him to be put out of the synagogue. That he went too far. What a sad story. So here are the Pharisees. Now the other part of the story is the man. But first, the Pharisees, the ones who should know, the ones who are hearing all of these things, the ones who should recognize, as this man reminds them, a sinful person can't do this. In fact, we know that God does not listen to sinners, but he does listen to one who worships him and obeys his will. Oh, that suddenly sounds a little bit like our prayer book. But there it was, right in front of them. But all they were interested in is what they knew. This can't be of God because it happened on the Sabbath. This man is not of God. We know him to be a sinner. See, and his sin was healing the man on the Sabbath. And that was, from that point forward, they're saying, okay, this is the reason we will not recognize the light of the world that is standing right in front of us right now. We are going to say no. Don't care who you think it is. Didn't do it the way I wanted it done. He is not the Messiah. He is not the Son of God. He is not the Jesus that we claim to know. They just weren't having it. But the man was on a journey. They said, how did this happen? And he says, the man called Jesus made mud, spread it on my eyes, sent me to wash, and now I see. And then as he moves through the story yet again, he's hearing it himself. Who is this person? He's a prophet. Oh. And then he becomes a witness, right? I don't know whether he's a sinner. One thing I do know is that though I was blind, now I see. And then he says, what do you want to be his disciple too? When they want to hear the story yet again, suddenly he's a witness to this Jesus. And then after he's been put out of the synagogue because of being, well, too sinful to teach, as they stated, you were born entirely in sins and you are trying to teach us. And they drove him out. They drove him out. He wasn't trying to teach them anything. He was telling them exactly what they already knew. They just didn't want to hear it. Didn't want to believe it. So Jesus heard that they had driven him out, and when he found him, he said, do you believe in the Son of Man? Which would have been a hint towards Messiah. He answered, and who is he, sir? Tell me so that I may believe in him. And Jesus said to him, you have seen him, and the one speaking with you is he. He said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. He went from being the man named Jesus to his Lord. See, he's on a journey. The witness of his story over and over. The third time he went, oh, this is This is the Messiah. This is the Son of Man. This is my Lord, my Savior, Jesus the Christ. And he knew it. Interesting thing is, he didn't care what it cost him. He was out of the synagogue. He was kicked to the curb. And those who were monitoring the curb in the synagogue put their blinders back on and went, no, he's a sinner. We know he's a sinner. And the only thing they knew about Jesus is that he made mud and rubbed it on this man's eyes on the Sabbath and healed him. That was his sin. Now, which do we think might be the will of God? And brothers and sisters, we're on this journey. We can hear this story and we can recognize this blind man moved from this is Jesus to this is my Lord and Savior. And then there's the Pharisees in this story. They were divided, so not all of them. That were clinging so tight to what they know and what they want, they could not see the light of the world standing right in front of them. Although every one of them knew this man had been blind since birth. Some of them were probably the same age. Maybe they crossed the paths in the street as children, knowing he had been blind his entire life, seeing him before them with the ability to see, and they still said, this man is not of God because he did this on the Sabbath. How often do we walk in our own lives and see the very works of God before us and then talk ourselves out of it? So that we don't have to change our life. So we can't be bothered by this Jesus coming in here and actually becoming our Lord. What if our Lord actually wants more from us? Oh Lord. What if he wants all of us? Body, mind, and soul. What if we claim to know him, yet refuse to align our will? See, the Pharisees chose to proclaim sight, which became their sin. Jesus says, I came into this world for judgment, so that those who do not see may see, and those who do see may become blind. We have to add on to that so perhaps they may actually see the truth. Some of the Pharisees near him heard this and said to him, surely we are not blind, are we? Well, if you have to ask, you probably are. Jesus said to them, if you were blind, you would not have sin. But now that you say we see, your sin remains. That is the most important phrase in all of this. And let me say this to you. What he is saying, brothers and sisters, is this. If you know the reality of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, healer, you have seen the light of the world in your life, and you choose not to claim him and allow him to be Lord over your life, you are claiming to see something that isn't there. You are seeing something of your own making. Your Lord stands before you and you are saying, I will be my own God. I will not listen to this God. I will not change my life. I will not align with his will. I choose sin. I choose sin. Sin is the seeking of our own will instead of the will of God. The season of Lent reminds us that there's work to be done. None of it will matter if you don't surrender your will to God. None of it. You'll just be like these Pharisees proclaiming that what you know is more than what God knows. What you see is more than what God is showing you. You will choose the darkness of yourself and your own understanding as opposed to the light of the world that can stand before you. Sin is the story today. We have to ask ourselves, what will our story be?